a conclusion. But I was reading this verse this week in 3 John. If you want to go home and feel like you've just done amazingly well at reading the Bible, read, some of you know already, John, 2 John and 3 John. You can read them in like 2.5 minutes. So you're like, yes, I've just nailed 2 books of the Bible. That's my high-achieving self that likes to do that. So I was feeling like I needed to achieve something this week, so I read 3 John. And I read this in verse 2. It says, "Dear friends, I pray that you are prospering in every way and are in good health just as your whole life is going well." The translation I was reading at the time says, "We pray that it would go well with you as it goes with your soul." Our whole being. And so this is what we're exploring. We're exploring that we are made as whole beings with emotions, and this morning we're going to look at community, that we're made to be in community together. And so can we just give a very warm welcome to Jess, who is preaching this morning. I mean, that's a lukewarm welcome. Can I pray for you? Is that right? Let's just pray. Raise your hands to Jess. Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you for Jess. We thank you that she's part of this church. We thank you that she is such a shining light of your love and your grace and your presence. I thank you that I suspect sometimes she doesn't quite know just how much of your presence she brings into circumstances and situations and conversations and moments, in her heart to serve, her willingness to sit with people and listen and to walk alongside. So we thank you for her heart. God, I pray that you'd just anoint her this morning. Speak through her. God, we thank you for her. And we pray blessing upon her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Sorry, I always get very tearful when people pray for me. I feel like I'm in the wrong place. Sorry, John. I am very nervous this morning. And I don't know who it was a while ago that said, this is a safe place to be, vulnerable. Oh, am I still in the wrong place? It's very strange hearing your own voice. Very strange. Yes. Very nervous. So thank you for the encouragement, and thank you, John, for allowing me to share some of my thoughts with you this morning. So I have preached before many, many, many years ago, about 15 years ago, when I was a youth pastor in Devon for a church. And I can't say I was that good at it, actually, because the one thing people took away from it is that I talked about poo most of the time. it took me a long time to get over that one. My friends still remind me of that. Now poo, being a mum of two, you guys will know, it is nothing now, don't care. So you'll be pleased to know I'm not talking about poo. And I am hopeful that I can only improve from there, okay, this morning. So you'll have to let me know. No, please don't let me know. John has asked me to speak into community and relationships this morning. And I'm guessing that's because I've been a part of this community for a long time. And partly maybe because in my work life, I am a counsellor. So I am a talking therapist. I work for a charity called New Hope Counselling, based in Warwick and South Warwickshire, and we provide low-cost, affordable counselling to people that need that support but can't afford the private fees. So it was founded 15 years ago by Christians, still ran by a team of Christian trustees, and we initially started seeing people with depression and anxiety taking that load from the NHS, and now we find ourselves 15 years later dealing with much more severe, much more complex issues that us as a team and as a charity we've just had to navigate. I also have a small private practice in Stratford where people who can afford to pay for private therapy pay me to help them and to support them in whatever they want to bring, whatever's going on in their life. I am hopefully that person. Just going to pop that on the floor. So this morning, I'm going to bring to you my experience, hopefully, of emotions, of relationships, and in church community. I'm going to hopefully share with you what I've been learning and see if it might you can identify with that and you can take it away. After listening to the last 3 weeks, it's been really heavy. And if you haven't listened to those 3 weeks, I'd encourage you to go and listen to them. talking about our emotions, our brokenness, our past, and how we can heal from that and not let it define you, who you are now. So this morning I'm going to break my talk, sermon, into three parts. I'm going to look really briefly, not too much because it's quite bleak, at culture and the world and where we're at as a kind of nation, as a society, and then I'm going to look at our relationships, what God has designed us to look like, and then I'm going to look at how that fits into our community here this morning, and specifically this community, you guys. So, yes. So firstly, looking at culture, for a while now, culture has been advertised that it's this freedom, this independence, this kind of individualism, whatever you want to call it, it's the thing that people strive for. Many want to be free from responsibilities, from accountability, from commitments, not wanting to be tied down, pinned down, or relied upon even. And many have contributed this and lots of other factors, for our communities, for people in our communities falling deeper and deeper into loneliness, feeling isolated. And loneliness is a strange feeling. It can ebb and flow. It can be with you for a massively period of time. But what it's described as is a subjective, unwelcome feeling of lack or loss of companionship. It happens when there's a mismatch between the quantity and the quality of the social relationships that we have and those that we actually want. So it's when our social need, the need that we need of interaction, of connection, isn't met. And as I said, you can experience that tiny bit or you can experience that over a long period of time. It's a feeling where you're feeling disconnected from the people around you, the world around you, when no one knows you well. Like maybe you've got no close friends, or you may feel empty, or you have no purpose. And loneliness has become this huge global concern around the world. It's been labelled as one of the largest public health challenges that we're facing, with 1 in 4 adults feeling lonely, often, always, or sometimes. And a few years ago, the UK government brought in this Minister of Loneliness. It's not a title anymore, it's kind of wound up into something else. But it still exists, this focus on loneliness, with the aim of tackling what has been described as the sad reality of modern life. It's quite depressing. Last year, the US Surgeon General described loneliness as way more than just a bad feeling, but likened it to a public health epidemic on par with obesity and smoking. Quite shocking, right? And in my work, both in the charity work and in my private work, so many people share with me that they are lonely, that they feel alone, they're isolated. They share that they don't have people to talk to or to be with, even. And part of my job at New Hope Counselling is to assess clients when they first come to us. We do a telephone assessment to kind of just gather what they want to look at, what they want to do, what their situation is, and just do a risk assessment as well, effectively. And we also ask them what they want to get out of counselling, what they want to achieve. And the amount of times I have heard, just want to talk to somebody, I just want to have somebody to talk to, because they don't have that person. They have nobody that they can talk to. Recently, please don't tell my mother-in-law this. I do follow her on Facebook. And actually, she shared something that was quite interesting. Yeah, don't tell her. but it'll go to her head. She's probably going to listen to this, isn't she? Sorry, Tricia. She shared a post on Facebook recently that was really interesting, and I've been mulling this over for weeks and weeks. And this person put out this thought about living the free life. He said he'd witnessed those who seek this individual life. He noticed they were appearing unhappy. that there was this widening gap between what society has promised in this freedom and this individualism and whatever, versus the actual reality of what that looks like. He says that we've been sold a lie, that the happiest people, he says, they aren't free at all. They're part of something bigger. They're woven into something bigger. Their lives are full of commitments, obligations, dependencies, and responsibilities. The very thing that society is telling us to avoid. Don't push into those things. And he lists at the end of his thing the people around him who are woven into something bigger. He lists all of those things. So he lists sports clubs, committees, I don't know, trustee boards, PTAs, all of those things. And he lists church on there, recognizing that this is something bigger. So I'm going to move you on from this really bleak place in the reality of the world, and look at how God designed us to be in relationship. What is it about relationship? What is relationship? And try and kind of pick apart why, I'm assuming he's a non-Christian, non-church person, why he sees the benefits of belonging somewhere and committing to somewhere. And I'm going to try and work out where God is in all of this. So I'm going to look at some relationships, and why God might have built us to be in relationships. So relationships are when two or more people are connected. Nice, nice and easy. To actively engaged in one another's lives. We're committed, that we can depend on, or we're responsible for those relationships. Now, obviously, all manner of relationships. You can have a romantic relationship. You could have a parent-child relationship. Grandparent, grandchild relationship, aunts, uncles, colleagues, neighbours, friends. But this morning, I'm going to specifically look at, like I said, those within this community, those in this room, those that were here at 9 o'clock this morning, those that do our small groups, those that are outside serving our young people and our children, and those that will be here tidying up afterwards. And naturally, like, we look to God, don't we, for the ultimate example of relationship. We look at his relationship with his son and his relationship with us. He wants us to be part of him, wanting to draw closer to him. He talks to us and he hears us. There's a Christian doctor in the US that talks about relationships, and he talks about how humans are fundamentally designed to be in relationship. He says that we're all born looking for someone, looking for us. So we're all born looking for somebody, looking for us. And as I was reading that, I was reminded of when I had Phoebe and Oscar. I've got two small children. One is outside and one is, I think, trying to have a sleep over there. When I had both of them, they came out and they wanted me. And I wanted them, right? I was looking for them, and they were looking for me. There was this biggest need for both me and them to be close to each other. And now they do a lot of this skin on skin, like really connected to each other. We're designed to be that way. We have a need to be connected, to feel belonging and part of something. And we need that connection with others. At New Hope, I sit in an office, a tiny little office, and I see lots of people coming and going all the time for their sessions, counsellors, all sorts of people. I'm often the face or the voice that people see first. And often on their first session, you can imagine, like, you've had this phone call, you've been told there's a session available for you, so you rock up. Maybe you've never had counselling before. Oh my goodness, you must be so anxious, so nervous. Some people often arrive 15 minutes before, and it's like, well, I don't know what to do with you now. We don't have a waiting room. So, and they're really quiet as well, obviously. Like, what is this going to look like? Who is my counsellor going to be? What are they expecting of me? I've got all of this stuff going on in my head. Like, what do I share first? And as they journey through coming, so we offer up to 16 sessions, which is really generous for a counselling agency. And as the weeks progress, as they've had their sessions, you can see change in their face, you can see change in their body language, the way that they talk to you or don't talk to you. And you know what? I have no idea what's going on in that room. I don't know what they're talking about. And I don't need to know. I can see it. I can see the change in them. And I was reminded of this particular client that one of our counsellors has been working with. We've extended those 16 sessions. So he's there like on his 24th session or something. So he's been around a long time, this client. And we've even had to tap into, we have a hardship fund for people who can't pay even the £20 that we charge. And so we've tapped into that. So this person's life is not great. It's really bad in lots of ways. And through the therapy and the relationship that the therapist has built with that person, the confidence in that client has changed. Like, his confidence in himself and in the world has changed so dramatically. He's felt encouraged to go out and build that confidence to go and find paid work, which is amazing for some of these people. And as a team, my manager and my team have been rooting for him. And so we're welcoming him and we're friendly and we're doing those basic human things that he's clearly not getting anywhere else. And so often when we're doing reports on our work at New Hope, we find it really hard to like show a figure of what the counselling has done, because it's all in the relationship. It's all in that connection that the client and the counsellor has done. And finding a figure for that, how to measure the difference of that is nearly impossible. And time again, we get to see that relationship that they have through the encouragement, through connection, that people's lives are being changed and transformed. And Romans 2 talks about being changed from the inside out, and when you fix your eyes on who God is and what he's doing. And it goes on to say that God brings the best out in you, developing you and maturing you, unlike the culture around us. That relationship that we have can do exactly, if not more, probably more, than that counselor-client relationship. And just as Romans suggests, we, through relationship with each other, with God, have an opportunity to be transformed, to be nurtured and shaped and molded, just like that client I've talked about. And in relationship, we learn to become who we really are. Counseling is all around, my type of counseling anyway, is all around finding that who you are, who's inside your true self. And in this context, that true self is the person that God has designed and created you to be. And through relationship, through that nurturing, we can find that. So I was digging around the Bible. I thought it was probably apt as to where I am. And I found 5 different types of relationships that I'm just going to kind of run through. In the Bible, where lives have been changed and transformed. So the first one I found was David and Jonathan in Samuel. I won't read it to you, but I'll just give you the general gist. And it says, by the time David had reported to Saul, Jonathan was impressed. Jonathan became totally committed, and from that point, he would be David's number one friend. How awesome. This is the Message version, by the way. I thought it was really cool. If you're not recognising this version, that's where I'm reading it from. And their relationship was marked by a deep loyalty and a deep commitment to each other, risking other important relationships to protect one another. So they're deeply committed, deeply loyal to each other. And then there's Ruth and Naomi. The mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship clearly shows above and beyond a family bond, right? And Ruth's famous declaration is, where you go, I'll go. showing that loyalty does and will extend beyond those blood obligations. And then moving into the New Testament, I found Paul and Timothy. So we have a mentor-mentee relationship going on here, showing guidance, spiritual guidance. That also can create deep bonds. Paul called Timothy his true son in the faith, illustrating how teaching and discipleship can form lasting community ties. So those are the one-on-one relationships. And then we could have to talk about Jesus and the 12 disciples. A wider group than that one-on-one. So this is beyond teacher-student, and he called them his friends, and he said, because he's told them everything that he'd heard from his father, you are my friends. And he created a community of shared mission, and their relationship demonstrates how common purpose can unite people in fellowship. That common purpose, that shared mission. And then even wider, we look at the early church in Acts. And it says the believers shared everything in common. Now, actually, it said in the Message version that they lived in wonderful harmony, which I don't want to diss the Bible, but I do not believe that. I don't think that is... Yeah, I was very sceptical. I was like, I want a bit of that. So, yeah. But they did. They lived in wonderful harmony, meeting daily for fellowship, breaking bread and prayer. And it shows this spiritual community can be practical. It can give us those everyday bonds of care and support between each other. So those are my five very different types of relationships on show throughout the Bible, showing that there's lots of different types of relationships available to us in this place. We can have loyal and committed ones like David and Jonathan. You can have side-by-side loyalty like Ruth and Naomi. Guidance and teaching, mentoring like Paul and Timothy. With wider friendships and a shared mission like Jesus and his disciples. And then even wider still, a group of people who support and care practically like the early church. I wonder what type of relationships you are invested in this space. Can you identify yourself in that one-on-one loyalty with somebody, or that one-on-one guidance and support, or part of a small group, let's say, part of that 10, that 12 who come together? I wonder whether you even have a desire to be part of one of those types of relationships. No, I ask you that because I've been asking myself that. So, I'll leave that one with you. So then I was thinking about how all of this, all of that understanding of different types of relationships could have in this space, in this church community. And I was at work yesterday. I don't usually work Saturday mornings. But we were putting on a training event for our volunteer counsellors. So New Hope use complete all volunteer counsellors. That's how we make it so affordable for people. And as part of their commitment and as part of, their obligation, we want to care for them, we want to train them. And so we do some training events. And yesterday we had one, and we were asked by our trainer what we wanted, that dreaded question. You're all sat there and... what do you want from this training event? And we always like, lots of different things. And this one lady, and I'd written this and I was preparing for this, and this one lady said, I want to feel connected to everybody this morning. I want to feel connected to New Hope. I want to feel part of something. I was like, okay. And it's, again, it just showed to me, even outside of this church, that people want to be a part of a community, and being there for that person that morning, connecting, giving her time on a Saturday morning, on a hot day, to be there, enabled her to feel connected. And then it reminded me also of the Facebook post that I'd seen, and what he'd said about all different parts of community. And he goes on to say that there will likely be no happier time than when you commit yourself to something challenging, subjectively worthwhile, surrounded by a group of people you can depend on. Again, this is the Facebook post that I saw from, again, and supposedly a non-church person, saying there'll be no happier time than when you commit to something challenging, subjectively worthwhile, surrounded by a group of people you can depend on. And I wonder how much of that you can identify in this space. Is it challenging? Is it worthwhile coming on a Sunday morning? Can you depend on us when you need to? The last couple of years, I've been learning so much about relationship and community. The hard way, I have to tell you. The really, really hard way. And I think I was thinking of our missional household time, and I couldn't really quite picture the timeline of how it happened or why it happened, but we agreed, Phil and I, to host Monday night dinner, 5:30, and I don't know, I can't remember you two what happened, but we came together anyway. And in hindsight, on paper, that's just ridiculous, because Phil doesn't finish work till 5:30. I've got two small children, and I was welcoming the people into my house. 9 people, I think we had at one point, around our table. And the demands of it were super challenging, ridiculous. We'd have 9 very different people around our table. We're all at very different stages of our life, weren't we? Aren't we? Still are. Nothing's changed. unless I've aged considerably. Sorry. You've gone younger. Yeah, thanks, John. And then everybody would leave at 7 and we'd just go straight into bedtime routine. Like, honestly, it was bonkers. Bonkers. And I would be lying if I told you that I found it easy every week. No, I didn't. And I think you guys all knew that I didn't find that easy. And for me, it wasn't necessarily that it was very glamorous. It wasn't. Often I'd message Fiona at like 2:00 in the afternoon and go, I haven't done anything for dinner. Please, can you help me? Because we'd meet for dinner, obviously. But it was full of the ordinary. It was full of mess. It was full of challenges. And it was just very routine, very normal. Everybody came at 5:30 for dinner and left at 7. That sounds like life, doesn't it, really? But as I journeyed through that, and there was lots of other things going on, I think, so Phil, my husband, is part of the eldership team, and the 4 of them met and decided that all 4 families would meet here at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning and set up. Well, I wasn't consulted with that, actually. And I hated it. I was like, Sunday morning, I have to be here at 9:00. And I found that really hard, really hard. Committing to this, having people rely on me and depend on me to be here, to be part of a team to set this stuff up, I found it really hard. But you know what? Within all of it, in that really tough time, I found that friendships were beautiful friendships, amazing friendships were being built. And we were opening, in the case of Monday night, opening up our lives, our home, which, if you've been to our home, is very tiny. So the practicalities of that just didn't work either in my brain, not in God's. It was a multi-generational family that grew together. And the one thing that was most encouraging, I think, was seeing my children around you guys, being able to show them what authentic church family looked like, that it meant bringing a quiche every week, and my son really loving that, and showing what connection was like. And I don't know about you guys, but for me, that even though we don't meet anymore, that has still carried on. There's still something that's been formed there. We were rooting for each other. nobody's life was easy, is easy. And we were encouraging each other, praying into each other's lives, and just hearing each other as to how their week has been. So for me, relationships in this community, in this space, can be and are, lives are being transformed. It can be challenging. You can be built up. You can be taught, loved, cared for, and supported. We just have to let it. We can't be passive. We have to let it do those things. We can learn so much about ourselves in this place. I've been learning lots about stepping into something. I think you were talking about pushing in to stuff. I don't know, I wasn't really listening. Sorry, John. Sorry. We'll go with it. It sounds good, doesn't it? I'm pushing in. And actually, Maya, if you don't mind, I was chatting to Maya this morning, and she was saying, actually, she never felt part of a place like this, and wonders how much of that is because she's been given a role, a purpose. Maya does our social media, she's taking the photos. I hope you've got a good one. Off track there. So I've been learning, I've been challenged about, you guys have challenged me in those times that I've met with you, what I hold valuable, what is important to me and to God. I have been learning the hardest lesson of all is about why I can't have what I want. That is really hard. What I want differs to what God wants, and that is very difficult. Ooh, excuse me. There we go. And it's... Pardon? There's the photo. And it's through this sharing of life with people, sharing the struggles, the pains, the joys, the gratitudes, and perhaps just the ordinary, mundane rhythm of life. As we learn, we are challenged in our relationships to grow into that true self. We learn so much about ourselves, and we find a deeper and deeper relationships with you guys, but also with God. And we become less internal, supposedly. That's the aim. And more able to show up for others. And when I was thinking this through, I was reminded of, for those that were here and have listened to Alistair's talk a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about when his wife had died, the church would make this rota, this food rota. And he said this one woman had lots of children. I don't know, maybe I just pictured lots of children. And would come weekly, if not twice weekly sometimes, to give his family a meal. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, that's ridiculous. Like, I think he said she had to cross town or something. And I was just really struck by the commitment that she had, the loyalty that she had, and that Alistair knew he could depend on her for a meal. Like, it was amazing. And I was just like, my goodness. Like, when we allow our relationships and allow God to work in our relationships, we can show up for others. That becomes deeper. I was wondering whether to share this with you, but I always used to say that church is just a random group of people that meet together, and I wouldn't necessarily be friends with you all if it wasn't for this place. I'm sorry I said that. Because although it is partly true, I have shifted a lot of my thinking on this over the recent months. And I've been reading in preparation for this and kind of just trying to solidify some thoughts, a book called Everyday Church. And they refer to a church as a beautiful thing. I have to confess, I would never have referred to it like that before, but now I'm beginning to think differently. And they said that there's nowhere else where a group of diverse people come together Nowhere else where broken people find a home, nowhere else where grace is experienced, and nowhere else where God is present in his spirit than in his own community. I was like, oh, okay. So my shift isn't that it's random. My shift isn't just this group of people. It is completely purposeful. It is by design that we all are here, that we are all part of small groups or youth or kids. It isn't random that you are here this morning even. And you talked about 3 John. I felt very smug with myself the other day because I read all 3 Colossians. Is it 3 or 4 Colossians? In like half an hour. 4 books of Colossians. John, come on. Colossians. All of them. Yeah. Yeah, within like the space of half an hour. I was like, winning. Winning. So thank you. Yes. Yeah, thanks everybody. Thank you. I am holy. And in it said, we look at his son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the son and God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, got started in him and find its purpose in him. And then it continues and says, this is the Message version again. And when it comes to the church, he organizes it, holds it together like a head does a body. So it's not random at all. It is completely by his design that we look like this. And so it's not a byproduct of knowing Jesus. It's not like, oh, an afterthought of God. Like, oh, I've got a relationship with these people. Oh, let's build something where they can all come and sing and people can talk at them. It's not that at all. Church community is where individuals come to belong to a wider family. It's that we get to come here on a Sunday morning to gather, connect in our small groups, meet people for coffee, have play dates, kids and youth clubs, all sorts of things. And so, again, my thinking has had to shift, and that it's not that I should be doing this as a result of knowing who Jesus is. It's more, wow, look what I get to do. Look where I get to be on a Sunday morning. That is hard. Not every Sunday, I have to confess. But I get to be part of this. I get to be part of you. This is purposeful. And me being here at 9 a.m. is purposeful. It's by design. His place has been made holy. This place has been set apart. This church, community, is purposely designed. And God is holding it all together. To understand who God is, his character, his drive, his vision, we look to community. He is a relational God and he wants to know us. Our desire to be part of everything, to be in relationship, is a reflection of who he is and who he is in our lives. Since the Old Testament, I mean, we looked at a few, but God has been in relationship building his community, the very place where God draws people in to himself, a safe place. I feel it's safe this morning, where we can come and we can be vulnerable, which has certainly been true the last few weeks, where we can come broken, where we can come in pain and tears and come in joy and thankfulness for what God is doing. And we can share our hopes and our dreams. And it's the very place that where God is moving. So thinking back to the loneliness, back to that epidemic that is happening, we are all built to be a part of something. We desire to be a part of something, to be part of a crowd even. I don't know, to feel part of a coffee shop environment. We're all designed to be a part of something. We're hungry to feel accepted and to be in real relationship. And this is all reflected in the image of God and who he is. in this community, we have brotherly relationships like David's and the Jonathan's. We have loyal friendships like Ruth and Naomi. We have friends we can learn from and people that we can lean on when we need to. Lots of things were popping up as I was thinking of all of this. And to be honest, I had to really kind of chop loads of bits out. And yeah, but I was reminded of two books that I'd been reading in the last couple of years. Not very spiritual books, but they are Christian books. Christian fiction. Again, my mother-in-law. Darn. Yes, my mother-in-law. I was actually given a book by a British theologian. Her name is Paula Gooder, and she writes fictional stories based on people, biblical people, and based on what we know historically of that time. So it could be quite accurate, but it's also kind of fictional at the same time. And I was actually given one of her books called Phoebe, because my daughter is called Phoebe. And I liked it so much that I went to find another one, and it was called Lydia. And it was just the story of Lydia, who I think is referenced one line, very small, in the New Testament. And she was a wealthy lady who sold the finest purple cloth. And in this story, it's sharing about the community that they had, the early church, and what that looked like. Apparently this harmonious place that they lived in. And the stories and the sense of community was just overwhelming. They supported each other through unimaginable situations, some that we may experience today in our lives, and then others that I think we'll just leave them at Roman times because it was just ridiculous. There was one story about one of them being imprisoned because she'd been, again, it's fictional, don't find this in the Bible. Been set up for a robbery and it had all gone wrong. And she was in prison. And you don't get fed in Roman prisons. And so this community, these friendships, they would bring food for this person while they were waiting in prison. And then I was also reminded about another book, a series of books, actually. It's like Sensible Shoes or something. I can't remember what it was called. Where this group of women, for whatever reason, let's say it's not random, it's all purposeful as to why they'd gone to this retreat. And they all made this, like five of them made a group of friends. And they decided to come a group and decided to commit to each other, decided to meet with each other, decided to be open and honest with each other in every aspect of their life. And there's a series of books and it just follows their journey in that relationship together and the stuff that happens in life. And it was a story of deep faith, deep leaning on each other. And it felt like more of a modern day image of what the early church was like, where they lived in their own homes, they had their own jobs and responsibilities elsewhere, but they still came together to encourage and to build and to guide each other. And thinking back to that relationship that they had and back to the early church that I read in that book, what was it that people were attracted to? Was it the transformation of lives? Was it the building up and the encouragement that you just don't get anywhere else? Was it the love and support of each other, or the guidance of the group? The peace and the power of Jesus working through relationships between these people. Surely this is what people are looking for. People are looking for these relationships. I don't know what the time is, but coming to the end, so so just kind of thinking that the world is a really lonely place. It can be really lonely and it cannot be really lonely, and we will all go through moments where we find this really hard, Because we're human, right? But God has designed this place, this community, these relationships, and it has his name on it. It's not perfect, because only Jesus can do perfect. And it's not harmonious, because we're human and we're broken. But God's designed it. And it's Jesus' purpose for us to be connected in this place, to be involved in other people's lives, to be involved in each other's lives. And again, it's oh, wow, look what I get to be a part of. Look what we've got that other people do not have. Like, we have these relationships here. And not only do we get to know him more, we get to know ourselves more and make friendships along the way. And this Facebook post, it was very long. It went on to say, if you already have it, so talking about relationships and community as something that you belong to, if you already have it, then think twice before trading it in for the promise of the world. Think twice before pulling away. And these last couple of years, I've really had to press in and not pull away. My goodness, there was a time I wanted to pull away. And in that not pulling away, in that pressing in, God has worked in me, transformed me, and is molding me. So please, my encouragement to you this morning is that if you're struggling, if you're feeling lonely, going through a really hard time, finding worship and prayer really, really difficult, maybe you're not feeling close to God right now, can I encourage you to step in to relationship with each other, step into community with us here. We are here every Sunday and more. If you're in need of growth and guidance, then seek it. Seek that person out. Seek that mentor out. Seek that person out. If you want to be a part of something, if you want to feel belonging, push in. Push into that. Commit. Depend on. Rely on us. We're here. And in all of those relationships, those David and Jonathan, Ruth and Naomi, those ones that I shared, if you want one, go and seek it. Go and find it. If you're looking, if you're desiring something more, then find it. And you know what? I've been talking to myself as I've been practicing. That's a message to me. So if you don't go away with that, I'm going away with that. It may feel hard. It may feel uncomfortable. And it may bring up really tricky things. But God is working through that. God is working through that. And finally, if we don't enter into community, we can't live the way that God designed us to live, right? And he wants us to be in relationship with him and with each other. So that's everything I have for you this morning. Can I pray for you? Yeah? Jesus, I thank you that I have the opportunity to come and share some of my rambling thoughts with everyone this morning. And I thank you for this beautiful place that we get to come, that we get to build friendships and trust and reliance on people. And Father, if you want to speak to each of us, if you want to share something with us this morning, then I'd pray that our hearts will be open, that we'll be accepting of maybe a challenge or maybe an encouragement or a thought or a tangible hug from you. Just pray that that will come over us this morning. I thank you for the safety of this place and the vulnerability of these people, that through coming together, we can not only know more about who you are, we get to know about ourselves and build that friendship along the way. So thank you. Amen.